I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Sucker! I do have to point out very quickly, because a texter did remind me of something that did not hit me in the brain when we were talking about the Colts just a minute ago. And that is, while Michael Pittman Jr. did give you about 6 to 7 catches per game last year, got 808 yards and just 3 touchdowns, I did forget, briefly and momentarily, that Michael Pittman Jr. did play the entire 2024 NFL season with a fractured bleeping back. So, understandable. Because if I had a fractured back, I would miss everything. Forget playing NFL football. I don't know that I'd be out. I'd be out of work for 6 months.
Don't they have another quarterback there? An experienced quarterback is probably going to take the starting job and be throwing to Pittman.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the NFL stage, Danny freaking Dimes. Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
I know that I've heard there's some excitement about him. So I'm just saying.
We are going to talk much more NFL football during the course of the radio program.
Look, Austin says Spurs up.
I'm glad that Austin said Spurs up.
I wonder why he would say that. I don't know. There's got to be a reason. It's maybe, possibly.
Because
I don't know.
While we will talk much more NFL football during the course of today's radio program, this hour we're going to talk some college football. And I can't think of a better way to start a conversation about college football, then welcoming back after a hiatus, some vacation, a well-earned R&R buddy of the show, incredible journalist, and even better person from the Greenville News, ladies and gentlemen, making her triumphant return, the wonderful, the lovely, the effervescent Lulu Kessin back on the radio show. Lulu, welcome back. It's been a minute. I'm glad you're back in the fold, man.
Wow, wow, wow. That was just such a kind intro. Thank you so much for having me back and for those kind words. I'm happy to talk to you guys.
Of course. First off, how was the vacay?
It was phenomenal. It was really, really, really nice. I'm happy to be back at work, but it was a really great time off.
I love that you say happy to be back at work. Ma'am, on day one of your vacation, you were popping up work on Twitter. Knock it off. You didn't quit. You just like stepped out of the office for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I tried to be a lot better after that. And I think I was. It took a couple days, but eventually I got to a place where I could actually like not look at Twitter and not worry about work.
I respect the grind. I respect the hustle. That's why we love having Lulu Kessin here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Let's dive in first. It has been just about a month since we last spoke about South Carolina, Lulu Kessin. Before we get into some of the specifics, we are officially and finally done waiting on the waiver for Faison. We'll talk about that. What thoughts, stories, elements, narratives, interviews, whatever, while you were on vacation, what jumped off about South Carolina football with less than 3 weeks now, or I guess 3 weeks exactly, till the season starts, and just slightly longer than that until we get to that game against Virginia Tech in Atlanta? What stories about the Gamecocks were on your radar over the past couple of weeks while you were on vacation?
I think probably the biggest thing is the defense and the narrative surrounding it. Obviously, South Carolina sort of, you know, all that they really had as a team last year while their offense was getting sort of in rhythm and while Lenoris was learning, like their defense was pretty solid from week one. And I talked to Clayton White, who's basically said to me, you know, this group doesn't want to be the defense that takes a step back in 2023. South Carolina's defense struggled, and then they really found their groove last year. And he said that although all, you know, this this squad is hearing is, oh, they lost Nicky Minwori. Oh, they lost, you know, five players to the draft alone. Oh, no, Kyle Kennard. Like, they don't, they're tired of it, and they want to make sure that they prove that they're just as good, if not better. And so that's sort of the biggest thing I'm looking at, because those are huge shoes to fill, and it's a lot of pressure. And I do think that South Carolina is sort of how good they're going to be this year really depends on how solid the defense can be.
When I was in Atlanta for SEC Media Days, there were a lot of different takes about what this team is going to be. Lulu Kessin, there were some folks saying that it is more than justifiable to have them as a dark horse to win the SEC outright. Lenora Sellers is that dude. There were a lot of folks, though, and I think if you ask me for the average answer was, offensively, this team has everything it needs to be one of, if not the best, offenses in the Southeastern Conference. It is a concern about the defense, and if they are going to be kept out of the college football playoffs this year, it will be because of that defense. What are your thoughts on what it is? Across the front seven, you effectively bring back Dylan Stewart, and you got a bunch of guys getting their first season underway as true starters at their spot. You do have some experience coming back in the defensive backfield, but as you mentioned, guys like Nick Emanuori to the league. What do we have? More draft picks to the league this year than ever before in school history. So with a week and, what is it, 4 days left until South Carolina, Virginia Tech, what is your opinion on the roof and the floor of what this defense can be?
It's so difficult because I'd be lying if I looked at Kyle Kennard and Demetrius Knight this time last year and knew exactly what their impact, you know, was going to be. So I'm trying to be realistic and not necessarily count out anyone based on, you know, their stats or who they were before they got to the program. But as you mentioned, like, Brian Thomas Jr., he played in the bowl game and he was sort of that like replacement, you could say, for Kyle Kennard. He's going to get a lot of time in the spotlight with Dylan Stewart. And then obviously the secondary, you know, Clayton sort of has that trio with Judge Collier and DQ Smith and Jalen Kilgore. But sort of the linebacker situation, you know, in front of them, it's sort of like, okay, you don't have Debo Williams or Demetrius Knight, who have been both incredible leaders on and off the field. So it's an interesting situation, exactly like we're talking about. And I would sit here and say that, yes, on paper, the defense is taking a step down. But my sort of cop-out answer is, based on the people who ended up impacting Shane's program last year, specifically on defense, it's hard to necessarily say, oh, you know, I'm expecting to be surprised in the skill level or in impact, just based on the fact that I think Shane's pretty good at developing new talent into his program quickly.
One of the interesting things at Media Days was Shane really only had, or at least acknowledged, one hold up about this team in 2025, Lulu, and that is special teams. I was looking through one of the preseason magazines a couple of weeks ago, and their breakdown, their write-up on South Carolina special teams is, if these guys didn't have jersey numbers, they need name tags because everybody's new, everybody's inexperienced. Shane got asked about having to replace kicker, punter, holder, long snapper, basically every special team specialist, and he said, not a direct quote, but about as close as I can get to it, yeah, I'm not real excited about that. Where are we with that in the development of special teams? Obviously, Beamer Ball is kind of his thing, and that relies on having good experience special teams guys. Do you think that that could end up being a liability that holds this team back this year, or do you feel like Shane, being Shane Beamer and knowing Beamer Ball as well as anybody not named Frank, we'll be able to get it figured out and figure out who the guys are so that it doesn't bite them in the backside?
I'm sort of leaning towards the latter, only because last year Shane was very upfront and very honest about the fact that, so for example, with the kicking competition, Shane was basically like, it's not where I want it to be. And that was late in August. And I think that knowing that, like, I asked him at Media Day, the 31st, I was like, do you have a timeline for these position battles with special teams? Because if you name someone too early, yeah, they get more reps and there's more comfortability being a star. But at the same time, you could be calling it too soon and missing out on, you know, more battle, more competition. And he said roughly, you know, about 2 weeks ahead, they'll start actually looking at Virginia Tech and doing game-specific things. And he's hoping that around there he has a better idea. This might be a crazy hot take, but, like, I think that just because South Carolina, like, Alex Herrera obviously did not have the best year. We all know that. And I think that he was a liability. And a lot of times South Carolina really suffered because he wasn't necessarily someone Shane could depend on. Obviously, he had to at times. He had no other choice. But I think I don't want to sit here and be like, any kicker is going to be better than Alex. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think that someone like Mason Love, who potentially might be the punter and the kicker, will bring something else to the room that could be sort of everyone else could latch onto, and it could mean good things for special teams.
Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate, talking a little Gamecock football with 24 days left until toe meets leather between they and Virginia Tech in Atlanta, Georgia. Let's talk about the run game, Lulu, because that was the other big concern, at least from our fellow media members in Atlanta a few weeks ago. We now know it is official. Great news for Shane Beamer that Rasul Faison does get the waiver for the extra year of eligibility, so he will be RB1. We know that there was discussion about, all right, is Attaway going to be able to be the guy if Faison does not get cleared, etc. Now that we know that waiver is granted, now that we know he can play ball this year, what do we think the run game is for South Carolina behind an inexperienced interior offensive line, knowing the pressure that the run game needs to keep defenses honest for Lenore Sellers to be at his best? What do you expect out of that aspect of the offense this year?
Well, I have an unfortunate correction to that. So far, we only know that he was waived to practice.
Okay.
So technically, we're still waiting to know if he'll actually play. Basically, what happened was, last week was very chaotic and none of us fully understood and it all happened, but Shane was under the impression, we spoke to Shane twice last week, and he said, it is my understanding that he can practice, that it is completely fine unless someone tells me otherwise. Then practice number one, between basically some hours between July 31st late afternoon and like 9 a.m. on August 1st, Shane realized that Faison wasn't allowed to practice. So they immediately applied for a practice waiver, which was granted. I mean, yay for the NCAA, if you could say that in this situation, but they immediately gave him a practice waiver saying, okay, we'll let you practice while we're making your decision. And some people think that it might not happen until the day before kickoff. Some people think it might happen mid-season. It's a head case for everyone involved, I feel like. That said, I think the running back room either way is going to suffer, just because you either have Attaway as your running back, your RB1, or you have sort of by committee, or Faison finds out really late that he actually can play, which you can't ask so much out of a guy like that who has been practicing all preseason, sort of having no clue what his future with college football, let alone the team, is. So it's a very up and down sort of situation where sometimes it looks like, okay, it could, you know, not be that bad. You brought in the transfer from Colorado, and then other times it really looks troubling. And obviously a good run game is essential to a Lenore Sellers offense, but any offense that wants to be productive.
Here's a question for you, Lulu Kessin. How much money would you be to be a fly on the wall in Shane Beamer's offense every time he gets an update about Faison's waiver that's not, yes, he can play?
Honestly, like a solid amount, not a ton, because I feel like then it would be something that I'm like, oh gosh, do I really want to hear or know all of this? But at the same time, it's good journalism.
I'd pay pay-per-view money for that. Lulu Kessin of the Greenville News joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. We do have, as mentioned, 3 weeks and a couple of days before we get to that game against Virginia Tech. So our way too early breakdown of the game. We've kind of given a few thoughts, angles about that game, Lulu Kesson. I will ask you to do the same here. What is your way too early? We've got not quite a month, but a month left to that Virginia Tech matchup. What are your thoughts on that contest this far out? Have you started to evaluate what it might look like?
Yes and no. I'd be lying if I said I've dove into the specifics of Virginia Tech and the challenges that they'll pose to South Carolina just on a game-specific basis. I think that I expect South Carolina to play a very sloppy week one. Shane is probably more open than most coaches about the fact that he just really hates week one of football and thinks a lot of mistakes shine through. Obviously, it's hard to really gauge how they'll be, but I would maybe, if I had to guess, put it at like a 2-touchdown win for South Carolina, being realistic of the fact that they really don't know what their run game is looking like. So I'm not necessarily expecting their offense to go off really early.
I respect it. I respect it. I will say this. I do think if this team, and I don't know if you'll get the, if you'll agree with this, I get the vibe, Lulu Kesson, that the expectations are playoffs for this team. Like, as close as you got last year, you turn over shooting yourself in the foot in Tuscaloosa. You turn over the results of what I still consider a stolen game against LSU. Or if Lenoris doesn't get hurt, you win that one, you're in the playoffs. I feel like the expectation this year for South Carolina is fairly set at be the 11 seed, be the 12 seed, find your way in, whatever it takes. But I also think that in order for that to happen, this team has to go 5-0 out of the gate, because the back seven games, with the exception of Coastal, and even Coastal, is it's going to be their Super Bowl to go on the road to Columbia and get that win. That is a massive stretch of very difficult games. I do think this team's got to go 5-0 out of the gate, Lulu Kesson, and that makes, whether it's mistake-filled or not, that makes a victory over Virginia Tech in week one, to me, mandatory for Shane Beamer and the Gamecocks. Is that unfair?
No, I don't think that's unfair, and I honestly have the same thought process. Plus, going into LSU undefeated, like, that brings an entirely different energy than it would even going 4-1, especially anything less than that. And I do think South Carolina's sort of MO this year is moving quietly. I think that they learned that maybe advocating or trying to be vocal about their team's potential, like, wasn't going to get people to listen. And I'm almost sensing a frustration of people that still aren't validating how good this team can be. And I get it, but I think that based on talking, like in conversations, the players are becoming a little bit more closed off to certain things. And, you know, that's their decision. But I think that South Carolina has really, really high expectations for this year, but is just being strategic about how much they say at this point in time. But I do think absolutely this team wants to be in the playoffs. And last year it was, you know, win the last six games in a row, kind of have a rocky start, and it has to at least start off a lot differently this year if they want that to happen.
She returns to her rightful spot on the program on Thursdays at 8 a.m. with just over 3 weeks left until the football season. She covers the South Carolina Athletic Department for the Greenville News. She is Lulu Kesson. Lulu, great to have you back in the fold. We will talk to you next week, young lady. Go get yourself back up to game speed, ma'am.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you guys next week.
You got it. Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News. Follow her on X if you're a South Carolina fan. It's all but mandatory. TBH. At Lulu, L-U-L-U, Kesson, K-E-S-I-N.
If you didn't know it was football season, now you know.
And if you don't know, now you know, playa. Let's take a break. We come back here in just a minute. We'll do some audio blitz. I got some audio I picked up over the past 24 hours that will run by you and have a little fun with it. I am Rob Brown. He is Lonzo. We are back after this on the Big Daddy Brown Show. The Rob Brown Show is on the Fan Upstate.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Up State. Rob Brown, it's a great one, Lonzo. And you, if you want to be a part of the show, you are welcomed and encouraged to do so.
See, I have proof. I'm going to cover up what you just did. I have proof. So our numbers like quadrupled after you didn't say that thing. So you should not say that thing, because if you say that thing, the numbers will go down again.
Hilariously, when we went out to break, as I sarcastically, mostly but not entirely, went back to referring to the show as the Big Daddy Brown Show.
Oh, no, you did it.
It's an experiment at this point.
Okay.
Our stream audience tanked, like disappeared, tanked outright, and just recovered to previously established numbers during the break. So we'll see if it happens again. Welcome back, the Big Daddy Brown Show, a.k.a. the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan.
You don't care about this program. You found out, look, we already lost one. See, you don't care about this program.
Let's get to the audio blitz. Let's pick up some audio here that I've grabbed over the past 24 hours since the last time we did the audio blitz. I will start with this one, not on my computer, but on the radio, please, computer. I'll start with this one. Y'all know John Kruk, former MLB player, Hall of Famer, now the play-by-play guy, color guy for the Philadelphia Phillies.
He's still around. For some reason, I thought he was no longer with us. Good.
No, he is very much still around. And not only is he still around, despite the fact that he is the color guy for the team in baseball I probably dislike the most, the Philadelphia Phillies.
Let me ask you one thing real quick. When you think of John Kruk, don't you think of him stepping out against Randy Johnson and shaking his head? Because that's what I think of.
It's a fair one. That changes when you hear this. The Phillies were taking on the Baltimore Orioles. The Phillies had 13 runs on the board. It was not a contest. It was way over at this point. And John Kruk was very clearly over it. So I just...
That's my favorite thing I've heard today.
I know.
It does.
I know. It's going to be your favorite thing to hear this week. I want to point out to those of you, because like once a week, I or Zoe or our boss or somebody gets an email or a phone call that goes, these guys are bad at their job. They're constantly getting distracted and going off on tangents and whatnot. That is a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, a guy who loves the game, getting paid mucho dinero to be the numero uno color dude for the Philadelphia Eagles. Phillies. And decided during a game that he needed to share with the world that he found out that 25 pounds of force will rip a human hair off. And he found that out by going to the place where, you know, they have the bodies where they, like, rip the skin off and stuff. You know, cadavers. Yeah. Turns out you can rip off a human hair with the same amount of force it takes to open a well-closed pickle jar.
By the way, don't try that at home unless you're, if you're in a situation where you're surrounded and you have no choice but to fight, maybe try it then. And remember John Kruk's words. I just want to commend the play-by-play guy.
Rolled with it.
Straight up, straight man. Played through the whole thing and could have easily lost it, but did not. That takes skill. It really does.
You know, you can rip a guy's ear off with the same amount of force as it takes to open a pickle jar. 0-1, he's down in the count.
Because if you said
right back to it.
You said that to me, my first question would be, have you often thought about ripping my ear off?
Because if I said that on the radio, that's our segment. That's just what we're talking about now. Sorry, football dudes. You'll have to come back in 12 minutes. We're talking about ripping ears off. There's John Kruk during a baseball game.
All right. I know when he mentioned the Franklin Institute and the play-by-play guy was like, you went to the Franklin Institute? I know I should know what that is. I know it sounds – I know I've heard it before, but I don't know what it is. And you being the science guy, you know exactly what it is, right?
I actually do not know what the Franklin Institute is. I'm glad you asked because now I have yet one more thing to Google. I assumed it was kind of like the Andrews. Okay, the Franklin Institute is a science museum in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It is a three-story hands-on science experiment. And right now, I've been to one. It's incredible. You better have a steel stomach, but have you heard of the Bodies exhibit?
No, but I'm guessing this has something to do with
it's exactly what
you
it is.
See.
The Bodies exhibit is effectively they take deceased individuals, they take their cadavers and they display them as if they were doing something in life, but they show you what the inside of your body looks like when you're doing those things. So like they'll have one where it's just the muscles of that person. You will literally look at a human's muscular system. They'll have one where they have taken the entire nervous system out of a body and reconstructed
it. These are actual people.
Actual bodies.
Why does it not smell?
Because they're preserved and stuff.
Okay, all right.
Take them out.
Do things like leak out while they're, you said no. display, yeah, which they, made they, me think they put them in poses no, or something.
They 100%, that's exactly what they did. I saw one a number of years ago that
that's
I was-
morbid, man.
It is super morbid, but also, if you're like me, like it's wildly fascinating. Aren't you in any way, shape, or form kind of interested in what's inside of you?
No, listen, I am. But I'm not a smells guy, and if I smell,
oh, it doesn't
any,
smell.
If yeah, that's what you say.
It doesn't smell.
I smell one little thing, though.
You know what it smells? I can tell you. I've done it. It smells like cleaning agents. That the whole exhibit smells like a cleaning.
Cleaning agents,
like Lysol.
Lysol.
Well, then you're out.
With me.
I don't know what to tell you. It's super interesting.
I have a hypersensitive nose. I can't help it.
And so is John Kruk. Hey, you remember a couple of weeks ago I played you my. My favorite ever soundbite from a quarterback when Joey Burrow in the quarterbacks documentary was going off about the experience that he got to have to go to the Field Museum and see fossils up to and including getting to see my favorite animal of all time, the Archaeopteryx. It's my favorite fascinating creature, a fantastic example of a transitional fossil between dinosaurs and birds. It's got features of both.
What's your
animals.
Favorite animal that presently lives?
Shark. Big shark guy.
Okay, so not duck-billed platypus.
No, that's, shark guy. Big shark guy.
I got to go platypus. Cause
getting a shark tattoo soon, as a matter of fact. Love a shark.
Okay.
So, Joey
Is it
B.
Is a baby shark tattoo?
No, it's not, and don't ever say that to me again. Joey B. Had a clip on, and I've started watching through the quarterback documentary. It's absolutely incredible. But Joey B had a segment where on the field, he's like talking to one of the water girls, and he's risen her up a little bit by saying, I got to go to the Field Museum, see the fossils. I got to go in the back where they have like the VIP stuff. I got to see an Archaeopteryx. I got to talk to the lady who like works on it. It was great. And I said on this show, you know, I love this because Joey B, for all of the weird fashion stuff that he's into, at his heart, he's very clearly just a big nerd, and I love that. Guess who's joining the ranks of nerd-ass quarterbacks? Ladies and gentlemen, for today, and at least today, he is now Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen. He catches a fourth one because big physics guy. If you play football for Josh Allen, Josh
it's
Allen.
Work. It's work.
Not only
it's work.
Are you going to be led into battle by one of the most elite quarterbacks in the National Football League, you are also going to walk out of practice a smarter man than you walked into practice.
It's work. It's work. They had all that memorized. They had it all memorized, and his boy was supposed to say the thing the right way, and he put negative on there, and I'm sure he gave him a look like, dude, we practiced this. It's a work. I know. Burrow, true nerd. Josh Allen, fake nerd.
I do not know
it's work.
Which of Lonzo's dual personalities is winning here.
Dual.
I do not know.
There's more than two, dude.
I mean, you're right, but there are only two in play here.
Okay.
I do not know of the two of Lonzo's many personalities that are in play here, which one is winning out. If it is his buzzkill side that hates fun, or if it's hater side that hates Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh Allen, Josh
First
Allen.
First of all, the world is a work.
Or if it's a combination of both.
And I love fun, and each person defines their own fun. So just because, oh, funny daddy, oh, he doesn't like fun. This is because my fun and your fun are totally different. My fun is being able to make fun of fake people on the air like I am right now, like Josh Allen. That's all memorized. I bet his boy got a tongue lashing. Later on, they might even have gotten into a tussle if it got really, really bad.
Big physics guy. Big physics guy, Josh Allen. 9.8 meters squared. And yes, if you would like to see it played out, Professor Brian Cox went to the world's largest vacuum chamber and they did the experiment. They took a feather and a bowling ball. They suspended them from the ceiling. They created a vacuum. They dropped them both, and both of them hit the ground at the same time. What keeps a feather and a bowling ball from falling at the same speed is air resistance. And Galileo Galilei pointed out that it is actually air that slows up lighter objects, not gravity, 9.8 meters squared, is the until you hit terminal velocity. Fantastic job, Josh Allen.
That's all real. But Josh Allen's recitation of that is not real. It's fake. He's fake. Stick the football and stop trying to pretend to be something. A nerd knows his own, and you are not one of us. You may have Rob fooled, but you're not going to fool me. You're not.
Lonzo, what's the equation for force?
Dude.
How do I measure force?
We'll find out during the break.
No, I'll tell you now. It's force, F equals MA. Force equals mass times acceleration.
Yeah, okay.
That is to say, if Lonzo hits me at 7 miles an hour, I can calculate the amount of force that he runs through my chest with.
Seven. I still got...
You know who would know that?
I got about 12 in me.
You know who would know that? Josh Allen, because he's a big physics guy.
Fake.
Back after this on the Big Daddy Brown Show. The Rob Brown Show is on the Fan Upstate.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, got a little more sound for you. We're going to talk a lot more college football, NFL. That will be effectively the entire final hour of the show, but I do have a couple more clips that I want to get to.
Will it really? Will it really be the final hour? Okay. All right.
Well, except for 920 when it's Fight Club.
Uh-huh. All right.
Obviously, except when it's 920 is Fight Club.
So I was thinking about doing this. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to put a Fight Club countdown clock that's going to play. There's going to be a sounder. It's going to play every single hour on Thursday. Maybe twice an hour. I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
You should put in a liner.
Yeah, just to remind you.
Put in a liner that fires at 6:20, 7:20, and 8:20 that says Fight Club coming up in 2 hours, in 1 hour.
Yeah, that was my plan.
Yeah, do it. I'm here for it. I don't need it because I've literally never forgotten about
that
segment.
I might even ask you to voice it, and then you'll still forget.
Literally never forgotten about that segment. You know what? Because of that, I am going to hype Fight Club like... out of this segment, into the next one, out of that one. I might do it like six times between here and 40 minutes from now.
Bet
35 minutes from now.
Bet you won't.
Yeah, you're right. I probably won't. South Korean Song Hyun Min.
I thought you wasn't going to play it.
I'm not going to play it. I'm just going to bring it up and very quickly talk about it. And then I want to talk a little bit of football. And I got a couple of other clips I want to get to. We're busy through the remainder of the show. South Korean Song Hyun Min is a soccer player, international football player, plays for Team South Korea, also has played across the Premier League, just signed to come play for LAFC in MLS. This is as players from the international scene coming to play MLS goes, honestly, one of the better pickups. Like, he is later in his career, but he's not later in his career the way, like, Lionel Messi is or some of these other cats that have come and played out the last couple of months, years of their career. He's a very good player still. So he signed to come play for LAFC, and yesterday they held a press conference at LAFC HQ to introduce him to LAFC fans and to the soccer world at large. Now, I do not pass judgment on people from a distance without knowing them. Or at least I try my best not to. We do have a guy I'm going to pass judgment on in the very next story. All right? Because we're just doing a weird segment here. Stick with me. It's a college football but not story. I don't know if she's like a city council member or a city commissioner or a county commissioner, but some elevated status politician in Los Angeles decided that she needed to be the one to stand on the stage and introduce Song Hyun Min to LAFC, to Los Angeles, California, and to MLS in the American soccer community. This is one of those spots that I go, I get it. You're a politician. You live and die based on publicity. I understand. There is no microphone in America that Rob Brown's afraid of. I understand. I am also an attention hog. I get it. She decides to introduce the guy, and the introduction to her introduction is by asking South Korean Sung Heung-min. She says, you know, we're hosting the World Cup next year, and Team USA would like to win. Are you ready and prepared? And she's like excited to help Team USA win the World Cup. And it's the single most awkward thing I've ever heard because, ma'am, he's South Korean. Very, very, very famously, he is South Korean. He is from, lives in, is a resident of South Korea. He's just here for work, ma'am. What are you doing? I know you need microphones to survive in your industry. I get publicity is publicity is publicity. But like, get out of the way, dude. Get out of the way. All right, now the story that, Lonzo sent me yesterday. And so did Keegan, and so did Joe, and so did Andrew, and so did everyone who knows me.
Really? Really?
Oh, this blew me the bleep up yesterday.
So that's the only reason why you noticed it, because they sent it to you,
You all also sent me the story all within about 10 minutes of each other. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Brown is, and I've gotten to the point in my career that I probably shouldn't, but I also don't care. If I was going to get run, I'd get run by now. Rob is what many of you would describe as woke. All right? It's not an insult to me. I don't care. Sure. I am very let people do their own thing.
It takes four alarms to get him woke. But
yeah, I'm not at 3:30 a.m. I am unwoke, but in the daytime. All right? Now, what I like to remind people is, actually, I have a very conservative point of view. You do whatever you want to do. It's your life. We're a nation made great by individuals being individuals.
It's kind of a libertarian point of view.
I would argue that libertarianism falls under the fold of conservatism, but that's a political philosophy conversation, not this show. I feel I hold a very traditionally conservative standpoint of you do whatever you want to do. As long as you're not hurting or impacting anybody else, I don't care. Love who you want to love. Believe what you want to believe. Worship who you want to worship. I don't care. It's your life, not mine. Do whatever you want. Just leave me the hell alone, yeah? That's pretty much the take. Except for one group of people. There is only one group of people for whom my wokeness is exhausted. There is only one group of people for whom my political philosophy does not extend and apply. And that group of people is furries. I don't get you. I don't understand you. And in my, I believe, traditionally conservative point of view, though I have been described as woke before, it is not my job nor responsibility to understand you, nor is it yours to be someone I understand. My only job is to leave you alone and do whatever you want to do. Except for furries. I don't think furry should be a thing. You people are not. It's not just that I don't understand furries. It's actually worse than that, Lonzo. It's that I do understand furries and actively cannot support you. Okay? I don't get it. Now, in fairness,
you are one of two people that I know that are extremely angry, and you guys are very much alike. And it's weird.
I will say that.
Being a furry is considered weird, but I think your dislike, your hatred for the furry nation is it's kind of weird.
I will acknowledge that it is antithetical to most beliefs I have about most things. 1,000%. Rob Brown is, again, I may not like what you do, how you do it, who you do it with. But Rob Brown is very much the guy that goes, if it ain't hurting me, go bananas. Do whatever you want. If it ain't hurting me, it doesn't bother me.
All right, I can't wait till you get to the story. But before you do, I got to ask a question, though. Did a furry hurt you at some point?
Not hurt me. Okay. I'm just because of the fact that, remember, I am a do what you want to do, be who you want to be. I am very out of the nerd closet. Yes, I go to cons. I have seen every comic book movie. I'm a big comic book guy. I'm a big dork. The furries show up at these cons sometimes, and you know what they are? They're like sports teams mascots, but nobody knows you, so it's weird when you start doing sports team mascot stuff.
They know each other. There is a culture. They know. They recognize each other.
Oh, I am aware.
Yeah, they do.
I am aware.
I've heard them speak before.
The reason we bring up furries is not to do a 10-minute bash on furry section. The reason we bring up furries is because we have our first ever collegiate athlete to out himself as a furry. At least that is according to a number of reports.
Sources. Sources say.
Now, yes. I am going to say that I am going to, for now, hold out on the belief, and in my case, optimism, that this is a Twitter rage bait parody. Because TCU quarterback Josh Hoover, there is an image going around on social media right now. And the image is of a group of furries. And one of the people who put that image out attached a caption that said TCU starting quarterback BT-dub and has a picture of three grown adults in full wholesale, ears to claws, I guess, wolf furry outfits. And the image is allegedly a screenshot of Josh Hoover on Twitter, which I have not been able to find, which means it may have been deleted or this all may be fraudulent, of Josh Hoover with the caption, can confirm.
A lot of posts saying it's fake, by the way.
Can confirm this is me, ooh woo. Now.
Wait, what was that last part?
Ooh woo.
Is that how it's supposed to be said?
No, it's supposed to be said in a much more dramatic and sexualized nature, and I'm not going to do it.
How do you know that? I don't know that.
Because I have the internet, man.
Okay, but I didn't know
that. It is a running gag in video game circles. Ooh woo is a thing that anime characters say when they're like being flirty, they go, ooh woo. I'll do it for you, the people, all right? I will subject myself to the pain and humility of doing it on the air. And then what happens is when, like, in video games, like, dudes own you and they punk you, they'll run up to your character and they'll go, ooh, ooh, before they run away. It's a sarcastic, dumb internet thing that if you're not part of that culture, it is ridiculous.
This is why I play video games alone.
It is ridiculous. With other people. Yes. If you are a part of that culture, it can be actually really funny. Now, I exited.
So you're saying that you've done that before?
I exited my conscious state of being at the conclusion of yesterday with messages from Lonzo, Andrew, Joe, Keegan, and about six other people who all are very well aware of my stance on furries. You are the one demographic in America that I can't get behind, that I can't defend your right to do your thing. Anybody else? I'll be first in line to defend your right to be you unequivocally, unashamedly, and unapologetically. Anybody. Except furries. And my DMs got blown up with this story yesterday. I exited my conscious state of being yesterday with the belief and hope that this was indeed a fraudulent rage bait induced story on the internet.
All right. I found an article, but there's several, but this one says it seems that a lot of the posts about Hoover being a furry are coming from fans of rival schools like SMU and Baylor.
That's what I had
as
hoped.
Well as the Horned Frogs week one opponent, UNC.
So. The heels.
Belichick did this. Or Belichick's girlfriend is like, you know how we get them. We make him think he's a furry.
Old Jennifer out here getting the PR campaign started early against the week one opponent. I will have you know that I mean it. I'm really glad. And you know who I'm most glad for? It ain't Josh Hoover. It ain't TCU fans. I'll tell you who I'm glad for. All his teammates. Because if that was real and it got out, I'm sorry, as much as I would offend anybody, and that includes people who are welcome in sports, all of you, any whack of life, you're all welcome on the Rob Brown Show. I don't care who you are. If the defensive line found out that their starting quarterback was a furry, it would be carnage across the offensive line. Just carnage. I don't know what else to say. Sports Flash.
All are welcome here except for furries, apparently. That comes from him, not me. The Atlanta Braves were swept by the Milwaukee Brewers, taking a 5-4 loss at the home of their stadium yesterday. Spencer Strider was tagged with the loss, giving up 11 hits and 5 runs across 4.2 innings. Atlanta had 6 hits, but put runners in scoring position for just 5 at-bats. Up next for the Braves is a 5-game homestand against Miami starting today. New England Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel was bloodied after jumping into a fight between his team and the Washington Commanders, also known as furries, during a joint practice yesterday. Vrabel dove into the pile trying to separate players and ended up getting bloodied himself. LA Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani pitched 4 dominant innings in a 5-2 loss to St. Louis, but the highlight of the night was Ohtani's 1,000th career hit. Ohtani sent a deep ball out of the stadium at 109.5 miles per hour, which is pretty fast.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.